I'm with Brian Duffy. Again, we're in the shadow of the magnificent Lovell Telescope, which is currently turning itself around. You might be able to hear that in the background. It's incredible. Brian, could you just tell us a little bit about how you use the sounds in Silsila?
Well, we knew that we were going to be playing with these two forces of cosmological sounds and the voice of Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan, and we wanted to find a way of paying respect to both sides, and we knew that it would be wrong to kind of manipulate either of those. For instance, if we had changed the frequency, which equates to pitch or tuning of a pulsar, that it no longer represents the data of the actual star. So, and again, if we had changed the pitch or rhythm of Nusrat's voice, it would be kind of wrong somehow. So we wanted to both pay respect to each side of the balance these two forces at the same time as wanting to make something that was harmonious. So when we finally chose the introduction to a kind of iconic Qawwali song, Allahu, we knew the key of it then, and we looked for cosmological data that naturally sat with it. On a couple of occasions, things like we could then work out the scale of the Qawwali, and we could say to Tim, these frequencies will go with this. And Tim then looked for pulsars that rotated close to those frequencies of that musical scale and sent us options. And then we found within those pulsars harmonies and chords that would go with it. But there were some really wonderful coincidences, like Tim sent us a file of the solar wind that happened to be the exact key of the track. Sounded like the sun coming out in the middle of the track and sounded a bit like a Hammond organ. So we ended up with pulsars that sounded like choirs singing, the sun that sounded like a beautiful Hammond organ. And we wanted sounds that represented things that were close in time and far away in time. So the closest sound in time we had was the sun, the solar wind. And the furthest sound we had was the echo of the Big Bang, which had been millions of years long, which had been compressed into 2 minutes. And we used that as the kind of bedrock that Nusrat sat on, and we then interjected it with sounds like radio waves from the sun bouncing around the atmosphere of Jupiter that made kind of sizzling echoes. And we found all these sounds that went together, and then we tried to find a narrative flow throughout it. So the sounds, in the end, we worked out a system where the sounds could go together in any order, one at a time, or could happen in any combination on top of each other, from one sound to 30 sounds, so that when it ran as a installation piece that would self-compose off the incoming radio data from the telescope, that it would always sound harmonious without us having to force it to happen, without us having to compromise it. We didn't want to sample something, change the pitch and force it to happen, because then it's all about the sampler. We didn't want to do that. We wanted to kind of find this cosmological harmony that was inherently there.
Fantastic. Thanks very much for that insight, Brian.